Get ready.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guestish co-host.
And if you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guest. It is episode 175 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is November 18th. Thanksgiving's next week, so congrats. You made it.
It completely snuck up on me this year. It was just... I was so not ready. The family started sending out text messages, and I was just like, oh, no, it's happening.
It is next week. I called my grandmother, and she was like, huh? What do you mean next week?
And my dad called me the other day and was like, you're picking me up, right? And I'm like, for what?
It's Thanksgiving.
Baseball's already done. Oh, no.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. No baseball, just Thanksgiving. Football, maybe, but... We are going to be off next week, so get your fill in of this show this week, and then come back after Thanksgiving, and we'll see what the hell's going on. Speaking of seeing what the hell's going on, good segue. We are going to read these headlines, and then we're going to get into the news, and then we're going to talk to our cool guest. Well, not in that order, but you know how this goes. Anyways, let's get going with this first story. Reports from Variety and other publications are now stating that Lionsgate has acquired the rights to Streets of Rage, the Streets of Rage series, and apparently a movie is in the works with the studio. Streets of Rage first made its debut on the Mega Drive in 1991 and received a fourth installment to the series in 2020. The Streets of Rage movie is being written by Derek Kolstad, known for writing John Wick and its sequels. Kolstad said about working on the movie that he was, quote, immediately freaking in, and that his 10-year-old self is grinning. Lionsgate is also currently working on a Borderlands movie, which does not yet have a release date, so we're likely not to see a Streets of Rage movie or hear any more details for some time.
Phil Spencer, Microsoft's gaming CEO, says that the delays in time taken for Starfield so far, and likely in the future, is, quote, just the right thing to do. Spencer said, speaking to The Verge, that the company knows what it's like to ship games too early. Oh boy, do they. And that the time and work put into the new intellectual property is justified. He said the same thing about Redfall, which originally had a summer 2022 release date. Spencer said that it was more important for the teams to feel that they had the support from Xbox, despite the financial impact the decision to delay these games have made. It still seems that both Redfall and Starfield are on track for a release during the first quarter of 2023, for the time being.
For the past year or so, we've been reporting about the Chinese government seeming to crack down a bit on gaming and technology, including taking actions against TikTok, creating and marketing video games, and limiting the amount of time children can play video games in China. Now, however, it seems that China may be switching directions. According to reports, an article published by Chinese state media titled "Deeply Exploring the Value of Electronic Games Industry is an opportunity we can't miss," say that five times fast, ask the government to take a different approach to video games and to give the industry more attention. This caused stocks in Chinese gaming companies to rise, including with Tencent, whose stocks fell incredibly low earlier last month. The article mentions that putting more focus on games will allow the country to work with and compete with the United States, other countries in Asia, and the European Union. So far, there are no changes to the laws in the country around games.
And interestingly, this isn't in the notes that we have, but also NetEase and Blizzard's agreement has apparently just very recently collapsed.
Yeah.
And it looks like all of Blizzard's games are going to be pulled out of China sometime next year. So that's kind of an interesting juxtaposition to this news that China is sort of turning around on this a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Messy.
United States Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, known for liking video games and not liking cryptocurrency, confirmed in a tweet that she is a high-ranked League of Legends player, or at least she's above Bronze 3. AOC was responding to the tweets which discussed how venture capitalist investors were impressed by CEO of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, played League of Legends... were they impressed? Played League of Legends during meetings. FTX is a cryptocurrency trading company based in the Bahamas that very recently collapsed. Mm-hmm. It seemed gamers, AOC included, however, were not impressed by Bankfried's Bronze 3 ranking. AOC is apparently Silver 3 in League of Legends. I'm going to say that's not a high ranking, by the way. That is distinctly... low enough. AOC's League tenure came to us as a surprise to some, with one user tweeting, "I used to respect you, but playing League of Legends is too far." To which the congresswoman replied, "Understandable." And she's right, that is completely understandable.
And those are just some of the headlines for this week. If you got any others we need to talk about, or, you know, we missed some, or something else out there sparked your interest, feel free to tweet at us. At me, Kami Chase Gaming on Twitter, WK Cooldown on Twitter as well, and Paul somewhere.
At Paul's Rockin' Twit. If Twitter still exists by the time this episode of this podcast comes out, which it might not.
Everything's just up in the air, isn't it?
It really is. By the way, playing League of Legends definitely does make you completely unelectable. AOC is against the odds.
Wow.
And in the upcoming election. Listen, as a League of Legends player, I feel uniquely positioned to say that nobody should vote for me for anything.
They just hired a 25-year-old Kingdom Hearts fan in Florida.
Was that the first Gen Z congressperson?
Yep. And he's I love Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts fans are on a short leash, but League of Legends is unforgivable. Okay, I'm sorry. Fine. It's too much.
We should see if our Adel Rafai is here. Adel, do you play League of Legends?
And or Kingdom Hearts?
Unfortunately, I have not touched either.
Oh, I think, no, what you mean is fortunately.
Yeah, you're actually, you've saved yourself from agony in that front.
Phew, although I've always wanted to kick butt while controlling Goofy, so I feel like I missed out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do have to tell you that Goofy is not playable in Kingdom Hearts, but I think that is a misstep in this series. I actually am fully with you on that.
I actually didn't know that.
To be able to kick butt with Goofy and or Donald.
He's so tall. He's chaotic.
He would be an unstoppable force in his own time in a game where he was playable. So I'm completely on board with you.
Yeah. He's the Shaggy of the Disney world.
Exactly. Thank you.
Wait, hold on.
I said it.
Hold on, I want to interrogate that further. What do you mean, the Shaggy of the Disney World?
Shaggy's powerful.
Oh, in that sense. Okay, I thought I thought you were implying that he was like a stoner or something.
Well, unconfirmed, but I'm sure.
If you ever watch the way he walks, he's a stoner. And the way he dresses.
Oh, yeah, he's really baggy clothing.
He's like a hipster stoner.
Baggy
like,
clothing, that weird tall hat. Okay, actually, I'll
buy
that.
He went to Woodstock. Yeah, he absolutely. Woodstock.
Oh, 100%.
I think you're also, if he's Disney's Shaggy, then that means, hold on, I got to do the math here. So is Shaggy also a dog?
No.
Because in
but
Disney,
he eats treats like one.
Okay, because there's Pluto, who's a dog. But
yeah.
There's Goofy, who's like an ambulatory, upright, talking dog.
Well, Pluto's Scooby, yeah?
Possibly, yes. But then again, that has to mean, if it's a one-to-one, which I think I think Shaggy is technically a dog, which the Shaggy dog, that's a thing. So I think I think you just cracked the code that Shaggy is like they shaved the face of a dog. And the hands of a dog.
And made him upright.
Uh-huh. Yeah, put him upright.
And made him a stoner.
So Shaggy and Scooby, I bet, are brothers.
Yeah.
Shaggy is Scrappy's dad.
Isn't Scrappy the cousin?
I think they're cousins of Scooby.
Okay. When is Scrappy Doo going to be in multiverses?
I don't know. Are they dead?
Scrappy Doo?
Can Scrappy Doo be dead? Is that allowed?
Oh, no. You want to kill the cousin child's a dog.
Yes.
I think he's unkillable.
Actually, that's probably confirmed. Not a stoner, but is unkillable.
After the first live-action Scooby-Doo movie, I think he did become immortal, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of his actions and deeds.
Oh, boy.
As I said earlier, Adel Rafai is here, everyone.
Hey!
Woo! The live studio audience goes wild.
Yes. Adel, please tell the audience about the things that you do in life and also on the microphones.
Oh, yeah. So I am a podcaster, and I do a few improv podcasts. I do one called Hey Riddle Riddle, which is me and some friends trying to solve riddles, puzzles, lateral thinking problems, and along the way, we devolve into chaos. I also do a show called Hello for the Magic Tavern, which is an improvised fantasy podcast, almost as if somebody fell into Narnia, but instead of going on high adventure, they kind of set up a podcast at the local tavern and met all the weirdos and creatures that populate the town.
It'd be like if you landed in the Forgotten Realms and had the ambition of a tech bro.
Exactly. Thank you.
The ambition of a tech bro.
Oh, yeah, I can do a podcast here.
both amazing shows. Very, very excited to have you back on the show. Last time you were on, I think it was episode 99.
You know, it was funny because actually Jace recommended that I listen to Hey Riddle Riddle, or he either recommended or he posted about it on Twitter or something. And I was like, all right, I'll listen to these guys solve riddles or something for the next however many hours. And I got like 6 episodes in or something, and I was like, oh no, they're serious. This really is about riddles the entire time.
Well, it is. Our audience is split in terms of half of our listeners are like, less riddles, like we more just kind of goofing around and banter, and then half of our listeners are like, you barely do any riddles per episode, please try and do like at least 20 per episode. And it's like,
they have like a metric.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, but it's
counting.
But yeah, my first instinct was like, I was almost expecting something kind of NPR-ish. I was expecting like a Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me style vibe, and I was totally off on that. But what really got me was after I got like 20 or something episodes in, and I was going back and looking at old episodes of the Weekly Cooldown, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I see one particular guest in this list.
Episode 99.
Yeah.
One shy of 100.
Jace never brought up that you'd been a guest on the show before after recommending the podcast to me. You somehow managed to just let that one slip.
Paul, I'm going to take your NPR riddles to heart. And next episode, the whole episode is going to be me being like,
I a
farmer, fox,
oh,
a chicken, a bag of grain. Sit on one side of a boat.
Oh, my God.
On a lake. And just like real, just really play, just really ham that up for an hour. Just unlistenable.
And I'm Paula Poundstone.
How can I hear a pantsuit?
Oh my God. I mean, it would be listenable for me because I would know that like I helped in some way create this. So I would feel like, okay, I can listen to this.
I would feel absolute shame in influencing the show in such a way, and I would not want it any other way.
Perfect. Adel, are you playing anything this week? Are you video gaming?
Boy, oh boy. I am about 3/4 of the way through Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I finally, audio daddy Casey Tony, from Hey Riddle Riddle, he finally got me a PS5, located one for me, so I was able to secure one, set it up, and that was the first game I purchased. I just got God of War Ragnarok in the mail, so that's what I'm looking forward to the most. But I'm currently enjoying Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Is this the first time you're playing it?
This is the first time I'm playing this game, but I've played other Call of Duties before.
Oh, so did you play the original Modern Warfare 2?
Oh, Jace, this is a new game.
No, don't confuse the listeners.
It's not a remake.
Is it? It isn't? Like, no. it's not one-to-one at all?
No, this is a totally new one, right?
Yeah, this is a completely new game. It's sort of a reboot of the Modern Warfare thing that they started with the previous Modern Warfare game that wasn't a remake and also confused me. Okay, legitimately, I fucking worked for Blizzard, and for like 3 months I didn't know that it was not a remake. I thought it was a full-on remake, and I had to ask somebody in the company-wide Activision Blizzard chat. I had to be like, hey, somebody tell me if this is a remake or not. I made a huge jackass out of myself because I just had to know. I was so goddamn confused.
I thought it was a remake this whole time.
Mm-mm. No, it's
aren't
not.
Those characters supposed to be dead? I mean, well, spoilers,
it's a reboot. it's a reboot of the Modern Warfare franchise, but it's not a remake.
All right, then I'm
if
back.
That makes sense.
That being said, did you play the did you play the one from like 2000 whatever?
Yes.
Okay, great.
But I don't remember much about it.
Okay, that is also fine. I was just, I'm always interested to see if this is someone's like first Modern Warfare experience.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I have, I mean, the past 2 years have kind of turned my brain into mush. So I feel like if you said like, oh, the one where you do play this mission or the one with like Kevin Spacey, like I'd be able to be like, oh, absolutely. I'd be like, ugh. But I'd be like, absolutely, I know I've played that one. But by name, it's all kind of
Oh, yeah. Here. For
oh,
sure.
it's the Call of Duty where you shoot a gun and it has pretty good multiplayer. Oh yeah, I play that one.
And a Russian yells, "He's over there!
He's over yeah. there!" Somebody screams about a grenade every time.
Mm. Yep, yep, yep. Fantastic. I haven't played a Call of Duty in so long. I feel like I should really pick up this one or at least play like Warzone or something. But I have like. I don't know. I have like a barrier or something.
So there's the Warzone 2.0 like just came out like yesterday or something, yeah. 2 days ago. And there's a new game mode in it that I know almost nothing about, but people have been ranting and raving about it on Twitter, which may live forever. I've been seriously considering actually trying it because I really didn't like the original Warzone that much. Although I'm like super cold on Battle Royales in general. Despite how much I talk about them, but that one actually might have something interesting going on because there's some PvE aspects to it that are interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Does that ring a bell to anybody, or am I just?
I haven't heard
about it, but I'll check it out. The reason I got Call of Duty is because brand new system, and I know that the Call of Duty campaigns, which I enjoy playing, are typically like 8 hours-ish of play, so it's not too much commitment or anything, because I've heard, you know, God of War is going to be longer. I've heard, oh boy, I'm so sorry to you two and to listeners. I always want to call it Event Horizon, which is a Sam Neill movie from like 96. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah,
or the sequel. I've heard those are great, but that's, I think, a little more open world and longer. So mm-hmm. I basically just wanted to, before I sort of commit 2 weeks of time to a game, I want to be like, I want to play something fairly quick, something I'm comfortable with, something that's pretty, you know, divided up into chapters where it's not too open worldy, just mm-hmm. to kind of get a handle on the controller and how the system works and the graphics, and just to kind of be impressed by the system, and then dive into something a little more juicy.
Get it for the spectacle, and then go off on something more. I totally feel you on the Horizon Zero Dawn name thing, by the way. Every time I think of that name, my brain just seamlessly shuffles it together with Zero Dark 30.
Oh, of all yes. things. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Now I'm going to do that. Thank you so much. Thank you, Paul.
I am so goddamn influential.
Zero Dark 30.
Every time.
It was definitely in my head for a while, and I had to push that out and like compartmentalize the fact that is not even remotely close to what this game is.
I am bringing both co-host and listener along into the hell that is my brain.
It doesn't help that I think they both star redheads.
Shit.
Oh no, see, now it's gonna mess me up.
Jessica Chastain and I don't know the character's name in the video game because I haven't played yet, but I will at some point.
No, but you're right though, god.
I really hope you enjoy that game, though. I think Horizon Zero Dawn and subsequently Horizon Forbidden West is the sequel.
Horizon Tears of the Kingdom.
Horizon and the Crystal Skull. Mm-hmm.
Horizon Wireless.
I think they're really good games, and they have a really kind of robust and interesting and also kind of... sad story. Mm-hmm. So it hopefully has the same kind of like inspirational type fun that I think it has for most people.
Very cool. I'm excited. I also grabbed a Oculus Quest.
Hell yeah.
Which is kind of fun. And then I'm right on the link is pulled up on my laptop, and every day I hover over it. I think I might buy a Steam Deck.
Nice.
Ooh, yeah.
Do either of you have one of those? Can you recommend?
I don't, but every single person I know who has bought one has had nothing but glowing reviews to say about it, to the point where I'm about ready to buy one myself, even though I really need to save money.
Yeah, I think I have to.
It is not a right now purchase, but it is definitely a very soon mm-hmm. type of purchase for me. I've been like... I have my Nintendo Switch, and if I want to go play a PC game, I'll play a PC game on my computer. But the idea now of playing certain games as I would on my Nintendo Switch just really appeals to me.
Honestly, the idea of being able to play Sonic Frontiers on a handheld.
Yeah, yeah.
It appeals to me.
Sonic Frontiers.
Is that Sonic? Good?
It's fine. Okay. It's if you like Sonic games, it's fantastic. If you're normal, it's fine.
If you're normal.
I like Sonic games.
Yeah, then you'll love it. It'll be great.
I've heard nothing but great things about Sonic Frontiers, and also apparently, despite it only having about 6,000 reviews, everyone agrees that it's better than Elden Ring right now. So,
well, that's true. It is better than Elden Ring.
Give it a go.
No, it's not better than Elden Ring. It's not better than most games, but it's fun. It's a fun.
Did you hate Elden Ring? You'll love Sonic Frontiers.
Elden Ring ruled. Elden Ring kicked ass.
Did you love Elden Ring? You'll love Sonic Frontiers.
It's basically the same game.
Is it?
A lot of rolling. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of rolling,
searching around cliffs,
running really fast,
gathering small trinkets from mysterious places.
Mm-hmm.
Tails is there.
Beating up a robot and then a little furry dude drops out. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. Elden Ring. Elden Ring Frontiers.
So I played Pokemon the trading card game for the first time.
Oh, the online
seriously
one.
Yesterday. Yeah, I goddamn, Pokemon the trading card game has changed a lot since I was a kid.
Yeah, the rules are very confusing now.
It's if anybody has played Yu-Gi-Oh before or is familiar with how Yu-Gi-Oh tends to work, it almost feels like a Nintendo flavored Yu-Gi-Oh what it feels like. The way the game flows and the types of cards that are in the game, you just sort of through the course of a turn draw through about half your deck and get everything out onto the board, and then the actual like gameplay itself of having the Pokemon slap into each other is pretty that part still feels pretty Pokemon-y. You get a turn, you do a single attack, and then your opponent goes, but like there's like 10 minutes of preamble before your Pokemon does an attack, and I got very mind flooded playing it, to do a single turn in Pokemon.
It's why I also don't play Yu-Gi-Oh now, because it's the same
Yu-Gi-Oh
thing.
Is even worse.
It's awful.
I unfortunately grew up trading sports cards, so I know none of these games.
Oh, if only we could have made the sportsmans fight each other.
I did play Inscription recently, and I did.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good card slapping game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Slap some cards.
I wish I had learned Magic the Gathering as like a teen, but unfortunately, I never picked it up.
If you have like a couple of minutes every day or so, you can play Magic the Gathering online instead.
Yeah, Magic Arena is actually a really good client for it if you want to fall down that. I'm gonna preface this with a. Make sure you manage your time with that. I play a lot of card games, and it can get bad.
Okay, interesting.
It can also get really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's like someone at a bar being like, cocaine is fun. Hey, listen, it's fun, but in doses.
That's not a joke. Magic the Gathering is called cardboard crack for a reason. That's not an accident. God. No, that's the thing, because it gets fucking expensive, too.
Yeah, yeah. Don't buy nothing.
And you can grind it up. I mean, it's a physical object, so you can do whatever you want with it, really.
Nice designer deck. Yeah, uh-huh. I like this.
Pretty.
There are cards that cost thousands of dollars.
Insane.
Yeah, online.
Upsetting. Deeply upsetting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even like that's not even actually like the designer cards. That's like normal cards that people just play normally. Very upsetting.
Well, you heard it here first, listener. Go play card games. Just only
they'll destroy
card
your life
forever. We're going to take a quick break because we've got some other news stories to get to, and I want to make sure we get to them. Plus, of course, our new segment where we go through the gaming history of this week and talk about some substantial releases and events and all that good stuff. So, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more show.
Before you click the share button, get the facts from a comedy podcast for information enthusiasts. On Don't Wreck Yourself, Matt and Ryan look into claims they find online, answer your questions, and say bad words.
Keep in mind our target audience, so if you're driving by a middle school and you see a bunch of kids outside, look for the ones smoking cigarettes under the bleachers and tell them about our podcast.
New episodes go up every Tuesday wherever you find podcasts. Be sure to check yourself. Don't wreck yourself.
We interrupt this program to inform you about the new radio drama, officially sanctioned by the Immortal Emperor himself, Ghosts on a Train. Ghosts on a Train is all about the pride of Duskwall and the courageous but eccentric line bulls that keep our railways safe. Let's hear from the bulls now. Andrel Anderson, badge named Dunville.
The best thing about being a line bull is definitely the train. Back at the orphanage, I shared my room with 20 people, and now I only share it with 3. Ooh, plus the food's way better. Plus there's a hot tub, and I swear that someday...
Yeah, we only have so much time. Adric, a.k.a. Drix. Badge name Colburn.
Close calls, huh? That was a wild one, but, you know what cowboy never rodeos entails.
Oh, that's unhelpful. Pippin Pip McKeel. Badge name McKeel.
Well, I think it's best about the train is the unintelligible mumblings of a drunkard.
Ah, well, listen to Ghosts on a Train, a Ghost Lines actual play, releasing every other Thursday on a podcatcher near you.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, I decided to look up some fairly laid-back stories this week.
thank you.
So,
it's been a couple bad weeks.
We are going to start with the UK government doing some interesting things on Discord. We're going to talk a little bit about Multiverses Season 2 and some characters we might like to see in Multiverses, and unfortunately we do have to talk a little bit about Mr. Musk and the fabulous Twitter. So without further ado, the UK government has deemed it a good idea to open up its own Discord server. The server, which opened up this week and rapidly began seeing members, is a read-only server to be used by the Economic and Finance Ministry. It only has 3 channels and is largely intended to be a news feed for the department. But for each announcement that has been made in the channels, users who have joined the channel have been using emojis to craft words like piss. Naturally,
pretty good.
There are middle finger and eggplant emojis popping up as well as a ton of other things that I just don't want to say into this microphone. Users are also joining the chat. Again, there's way more creative names than this, but with names like Queen Elizabeth and Margaret Thatcher.
Was the goal... I assume the goal was to try and, like, connect with the youths? Like,
I wish that...
it has to be,
I wish that was all of it. It seems like they want, like, a second kind of Twitter feed plus, like, let's connect with the young people.
Yeah, interesting.
This they're basically trying to use Discord as a news feed.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have like 3 channels. One is like how to use this Discord, welcome into the Discord, and then like here's the news from the Economic Ministry.
I feel like a British person might try to call this innovative.
Genius.
Perfect.
Well done. It's just a bad idea.
It's so missane.
It's like if the U.S. government was like, hey, for all our politics and updates, we're going to have a next door and like, let's all be adults. And it's like, no, of course not.
No.
Have you seen next door?
Absolutely not.
Okay, President, I need to discuss this with you. We're looking to attract the youth of the country. We are just not getting through to people in Discord. What is another social media that we can get into that people are looking at that can actually reach the youths of America?
Come on, Jack. You ain't never been on Nextdoor.
All I've ever seen is people complain about homeless people there. Martin.
Nextdoor is the worst.
It's truly the worst.
Nextdoor is so... I've created and deleted accounts there twice. The first time I did it was because I was trying to, like, I don't know, I heard like an explosion outside, and I was like, hey, did anybody know what that explosion was about? And somebody like said, tried to blame it on a homeless person, and I was like, ah, I'm good.
Okay, great.
Are there just exploding homeless people out on the street?
Boy, they
what's
get
going
up to
on?
Everything, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in a weird way, in a weird roundabout way, maybe this hatred of this Discord and people posting piss and whatnot, it's uniting the country. I would like to think.
That is actually a talking point I was about to make. Because
are you saying posting piss is praxis?
I think I am. Thank you so much.
If nothing else, there is like one unified idea about what people think about the ministry, right? Even if it's just the Treasury Department, people are like, fuck these people.
Yeah. Keep calm. Keep calm and post the C word.
The C word.
They love the C word over there.
Why the finance ministry?
I think it's like, just a chance to get at any piece of government.
I could see the BBC or something making a disc. The finance ministry. That would be like the Fed starting a Discord server. Like, what?
It is exactly the worst department too, right? No one cares about this one, right? Everyone's like, just fix the damn economy and like, don't talk to me.
We're proud to announce the Supreme Court Discord server.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Discord's already
presents.
Discord's already like a cesspool for, like, pretty fascisty people, so like having a U.S. I can't even imagine having a United States version of this. It would be
the jingoism alone would make the servers melt.
Oh, for sure, you're right about that.
It would be beautiful, 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 glorious disaster, kind of like this.
Well, there you
hey, Multiverse season 2 is now live.
Yeah,
and in addition to a new Game of Thrones themed map and a new battle pass, players will get the chance to play as a Marvin the Martian. My dad has a Marvin the Martian tattoo, fun fact, on his shoulder. There are also some improvements to network play and latency to make for better online play. There are leaks and rumors that suggest a lot more characters from the Warner Brothers universe is still on the way, including Godzilla, Gandalf and Legolas, as well as the Joker, played by Mark Hamill. What are some other characters you'd like to see hit this game?
Can we just have to pause and appreciate Marvin? Your father's correct. Marvin the Martian is the greatest Looney Tune.
No, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's when you're younger, you're like Tasmanian Devil sorts of, and then as you get older and mature and refine your tastes, it becomes Marvin the Martian.
I mean, all the time, I'm just saying, where's the earth-shattering kaboom?
It's the one thing.
I was expecting an earth-shattering kaboom. I'm sorry.
It's the one thing he's known for.
Yeah, exactly.
Wanting an earth-shattering kaboom.
I quote that constantly.
It's the only thing he needs.
Go back in the podcast. I'm sure I've said it at least once. I probably haven't.
So I don't know the rule. I don't know this Multiverses game, so I don't know the rules of it. But off the top of my head, I would say, based on the characters you said and the IPs presented, I would immediately, my very first thought, and I think I'm correct in this, is any of the cereal mascots. So your Count Chocula's, Captain Crunch's. I want to see these people enter the arena, and I feel like I want the most powerful to be, I don't know its name, but whatever that little thing is that says me one honeycomb, that thing should be like one, if it touches you, you die.
Oh, that was kind of like Taz, right?
Me one honeycomb.
It was just something... like, it was like a wolf's face, maybe on top of
this like fucked up furball thing.
Yeah, it's almost like when gremlins mogwais when they're first hatching, when they're like eggs and they're furry eggs, but it has like a wolf's face on it or something.
I have put a link to an image in the chat, which is going to make this podcast completely unlistenable.
What else? I think this feels the names you listed and everything feels like fun plus nostalgia.
Yeah, you pretty much got it. You got the whole thing. You solved it in one.
Multiverses is basically Smash Bros. If you like the Warner Brothers IPs.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is it on all systems or what's it on?
Yeah, it's on pretty much everything, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else would be fun that's like weird or silly, and then also like, I remember that, like Battletoads, Golden Girls. Yeah. Maybe the Golden Girls would be fun.
Yeah, Golden Girls, hold on a minute. Golden Girls would bring so many gays to this video game who aren't already on this video game. So I agree. Put the Golden Girls in multiverses. Blanche is the most powerful Golden Girl, obviously.
So it's funny that you mentioned Gremlins specifically, because Gizmo from the Gremlins is in fact a playable character.
Uh-oh, Daddy stumbled over his own shoelaces into a success puddle.
Good job. Oh, man, you're just covered in money and nostalgia now. Good job.
Yeah,
good.
Don't wipe my face. Lick, lick, lick.
We need that face.
Multiverses is doing everything right for getting people into the game, but it's not doing the hype thing that Smash Bros. Does, where it's like, ooh, who's going to be the next one? And then they tease some random picture of, like, someone's foot, and you're supposed to guess who it is.
The problem is that Smash kind of has the longevity at this point. I played Multiverses for like 2 weeks during the closed beta, and I was like, this is fine. And then I forgot about it and went back to playing Apex Legends.
Yeah, it needs that. Maybe it does need to introduce the serial mascots too. So then it would truly be all-inclusive, and we would get other people into this game.
They need the guy from the Trolls 2 meme, the guy that's just yelling, they're eating her, and then they're going to eat me, oh my god, and that's his whole thing. He just does that the whole time. Every button he presses, he plays the full line all the way through.
I think
the game miserable.
In all sincerity, if a game were trying to appeal to Adel, I think introducing Beetlejuice would be fun. I think Beetlejuice is my favorite movie, and I feel like that would be, if he was a playable character, I'd be like, I want to check this out.
Wasn't there a Beetlejuice Warner Brothers cartoon?
Yeah.
Yes, there was.
That would be perfect, actually. That would be. Yeah. That would actually be sick.
With a French skeleton and a oversized ball of hair that was like a cowboy?
Yeah.
It was a big departure from the movie, but still watchable. I very much enjoyed it as a, I don't know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old.
Now I'm just thinking about the Warner Brothers cartoon minds of just what you could pull. Like, obviously, like, Bugs Bunny and stuff are in the game already, but, like, I don't know, bring in the Tiny Toons, man.
Oh, yes.
That's, like, maybe one of the most menacing phrases I've ever seen.
Bring in the Tiny Toons.
Would it be feasible? And, Paul, it sounds like you've played the game, so maybe you'd be able to answer this. Would it be fun? Is there, like, health meters? Like, I guess you said it's like Smash
Brothers. It's almost exactly like Smash.
Okay. So maybe you're playing as Bugs Bunny, right? And there's moments where, like, you can, like, jump backwards and create, like, a decoy that's, like, you in a dress, and, like, that takes damage for you. But then whenever you get to, like, 50% health meter, maybe even 25% health meter when it's, like, a little more desperate, maybe when you get hit, Bugs, like, breaks in half. And I forget his name, but the lead blue bunny from Tiny Toons comes out, and now you're him, and you're a little bit quicker and a little bit more, a little bit more fierce.
That would be like almost like a I'm trying to think of how. I mean, that could totally be doable. That's like a
pitch it.
It's such a
Russian nesting doll.
Yeah,
for all the Looney Tunes, they have that power where it's like when you crack them open at the end, their Tiny Toon version comes out. And the dodo guy, maybe, I don't know who he comes out of, because he never existed before and will not exist again. But he was fun and
damn
weird.
Shame.
No, I'm interested in that from just like an actual like game designy standpoint of like a character that whenever you first start, they appear as a character that already exists. Like Bugs Bunny already exists in the game as he is right now. You can just play as Bugs Bunny. He lives and dies and breathes as Bugs Bunny. And just like, there's either an option or an alternate character that when you hit a certain threshold of damage, or maybe after you lose your first life or something, you just turn into the fast version of them, the Tiny Toon Bugs. I actually kind of love that as a concept, just because it would keep your opponent on their toes of just like, oh, is he going to turn into Tiny Bugs after this?
Buster, was that his name? Buster,
was that his name?
Oh, I know.
Right. They were actually different characters.
Yeah, the woman was Babs.
Yeah.
But I think the blue guy was
Yeah, you got it, Buster Bunny.
Babs and Buster Bunny.
But they were, I mean, I feel like the whole point of Tiny Toons was that they were, speaking of Coke earlier, I feel like they were all, like, on Coke. Like, they talk so much faster, they were way more zanier, like, the bits came at a much faster rate.
They were wound the fuck up.
They were meant for kids on the Mountain Dew to be like, we'll keep your attention. So I feel like that would make sense.
I have a confession. I completely forgot what Tiny Toons was about. I actually just thought the Tiny Toons were just kid versions of Looney Tunes.
Small bugs.
No, they're tiny. They're toony. They're all a little loony.
Yeah. But
they go to Acme University.
That's right. They go to a school. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Got it. Man, I don't remember shit about that cartoon.
Tiny Toon Adventures is about to start.
Yep.
Oh, what about, what is his name? Not Shazam. What is that? Freakazoid.
Freakazoid. I bet Freakazoid would totally, Freakazoid would totally, wait, what?
Darkwing Duck.
You could put freaking Wizard of Oz characters in that ship.
Ooh.
No. Really I don't good. Want that. I don't want that.
I do. I want to see Dorothy fuck up Anya Stark.
I feel weird about Wizard of Oz licensed stuff at this point because, like, I've seen, like, billboards of, like, Wizards of Oz, like, slot machines or, like, Wizards of Oz, like, mobile slots. That's, and at this point, I'm just like,
that's to appeal to
can these people just be dead? It's okay. They had their run.
Well, I think everyone in the movie is now dead.
Yeah.
So are there any sort of like fatalities or any sort of like finishing moves in this or no?
No, but there is a super duper Shaggy.
Okay.
There is a super duper Shaggy. No quote unquote final smash in this. I thought there was.
I don't think so. If there is, I've never seen it.
Is there a Goofy?
There is no Goofy.
No Goofy. Okay.
So 0 for 2, 0 for 3, because he's not, well, all the games we have, he's not in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
No.
He's not? Mm-mm. Okay. All right.
He's in Kingdom Hearts, but he's not playable.
Oh, boy. This is a real
more sad games day. Yeah. Should have playable Goofy.
Thank you.
That's just how it is.
I think we're going to have to clean your face off, Adel, sorry to say.
Dang. Okay.
It's all right. It's all right. Just a little egg. So
mix it with the success.
We've gotten through this. Moving on to Mr. Musk, Elon Musk himself, Big Daddy Losers. Elon Musk has laid off the employees who ran Twitter's gaming account. This is according to reports from Reuters and the Washington Post that say, in addition to layoffs in the communication, content curation, human rights, and ethics departments, the marketing side of Twitter gaming is also gone. Gaming apparently makes up a large portion of Twitter activity, with 1.5 billion tweets being attributed to gaming alone. Elon and Twitter were reportedly asking employees who were laid off or fired to return to the job, but it may be unlikely that we see a return of the Twitter gaming crew amongst them. So, I mean, like, the real important part of this story is that, like, amidst getting rid of the gaming people, he's also got rid of, like, you know, the other important people.
I am impressed by your ability to loop it in to keep it relevant with the podcast theme, though. That's a real skill you got there, Jason.
I'm pretty good at this.
I will say, I don't know why my brain works this way, but while you're reading that article, in my head, I was like, if you say most of the catchphrases, most of Urkel's catchphrases in a Marvin the Martian voice, it somehow works. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Did I do that?
It sounds the exact same.
You know, doesn't what? It work? It somehow works.
It's the same.
My apologies. That's how my brain works. And you have
Where's
me on,
the
so.
Earth-shattering kaboom?
I'm wearing you down.
It's the same. You're right. It's exactly the same.
Got any cheese?
So anyway, the death of the second largest social media website.
Is got any cheese an herbal catchphrase?
Oh, yeah.
I need to go watch this again, I guess.
As someone who grew up in the 90s, trust me. Did you grow up in the 90s?
I'm 29.
Really?
I am also 29.
So anytime he interacted with Carl Winslow, Carl would like begrudgingly let him in and be like, "Hey, Urkel," and like shuffle him into the living room to get him off his hands. And then he'd be like, "I'm a little bit hungry." And he's like, "I don't care." And then he'd be like, "Got any cheese?" At some point they stopped doing it because I think they're like, it's not catching up.
Yeah, I think
this one's not working.
Like, this is unhinged.
But definitely, if you look up clips, you'll hear it several times.
Gonna look up Gandhi and Cheese later. Figure that one out. Where that went in my brain, I'm not sure.
So Twitter is dying.
Yeah,
Elon Musk is killing Twitter. Gaming Twitter is gonna die. More news at 11. I mean, like, what else more is there to say other than, like, he's draining his own funds and everyone's vitality for this platform, right? Like, there's a lot of people who have already left, a lot of people who want to leave.
A lot of Twitter people are just kind of watching the fires burn.
Yeah.
Warming their hands.
There's a lot of following Elon's tweets, like his two or three daily tweets. It gives off to me like a Trump vibe of like everyone's talking about Twitter. Twitter's doing so. It's all just like snake oilsmanship of like,
yeah.
I can't tell you how great it's going. Everything could not be more perfect. Like this is the new world. Like it's just very. It's very eerie. It's very creepy.
I get the vibe that the only thing he cares about is that people are talking about this, regardless of any actual successes or failures that are occurring, at least on its face. My favorite post that I've been seeing going around is of just people say of somebody saying that whenever somebody uses the laughing crying emoji, they are angrier than they've ever been in their life, and followed up with somebody saying that Elon Musk had tweeted it every single day for the past 28 days.
Outstanding.
It's just that combination of just like, he's clearly blustering this shit up for everybody.
Even as we're talking about this, I am seeing tweets like, I'm like going down with the ship, and then here like an Instagram and a Tumblr link to people's stuff instead. Right now trending is RIP Twitter, with Twitter, Twitter HQ, and without Twitter. So I'm like, oh, I guess this is actually happening. Like, it's gone. Goodbye. It's leaving.
There is one particular post going around that is saying that a total of like 300 employees took Elon Musk's ultimatum.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah, about that. So Twitter, from what I remember correctly, the numbers before Elon took over had 7,000 employees, and is potentially down to like 400 at this point.
If I had the Photoshop abilities, I would take Saturn devouring his son. Put Elon's face on Saturn, and then the Twitter symbol is his son.
Dear listener, we have a new contest. There is no prize. There's no dignity.
Please make a playable Goofy. It is funny to me of like, just in my bubble on Twitter, it is funny to see so many of my friends be like, well, if anything happens, if this keeps going the way it's going, you can follow me on Mastodon, and then they post their Mastodon link, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I'll be able to find you.
I've been actually saying this a lot, is like the culture will rebound, right? Like,
yes.
When we leave Tumblr, we go to Twitter, and when we leave Twitter, we'll go, I don't know, Twitter or something.
I don't
think
it'll be Mastodon. I don't know.
Wherever it is, I'll see you there in the future.
Yeah.
We'll be there together, holding hands as we descend into hell.
Unfortunately, it feels to me like Discord is the best position for it, which doesn't make any sense because it's not social media, but...
Well played, UK financial government.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve, actually. They knew what was up.
They said, Elon Musk, dunk this thing into the ground. Make us very popular.
All right. Supreme Court, you know what you have to do.
Yeah, get on Twitter, Clarence Try Thomas. Again.
There you go.
That's the guy.
Clarice.
Clarice Thomas.
The silence of the social media.
Well, regardless of if Twitter is here on Friday or not, you know where to find this podcast. That's not like, this is not on social media. That's on Apple and Spotify, so get on it.
I got some bad news for you, Jace. I just heard that Elon Musk just bought Apple.
Oh, yikes. Not Tim Cook, why would you do this?
My iPhone is dissolving in my hands as I look.
My AirPods are broken. Oh, wait. They haven't been affected by Elon yet.
That just happened.
Yeah, that just happened.
Unrelated.
Very
quickly, we're going to go through our new segment this week in gaming history. Substantial releases and events. We're gonna talk about them.
How much longer are we allowed to call this a new segment? By the way, what's the expiration date on that new tag?
Until next year.
Next year.
Yeah. So like that's January, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't question me. I know what I'm doing. November 13, 2007, the first Assassin's Creed game releases for PS3 and Xbox 360.
God, I play the shit out of that game.
Yeah, that was like a revolutionary game. It was real different.
I remember when Assassin's Creed 2 came out and they were like, they tried to have the whole continuing meta plot between the first and second game, and then they dropped it like four games in.
It's not that they dropped it. It's that they stretched it out too much. And then everyone was like, no one wants this child anymore.
Well, the lead-up was supposed to be...
We'll kill him, I guess.
The end result was clearly supposed to be that he learns all this stuff and the last game would be a modern Assassin's Creed.
It felt that way, yeah.
Yeah.
But instead, I guess...
It never happened.
Yeah, they focused on the return to the past now part instead.
The Code Lyoko references, hello? Yeah. All right.
Adel, did you play Assassin's Creed?
I never played. I think having graduated college in 2005, any video game with Creed in it, I tried to stay away from.
Very valid.
And then maybe in the last 5 years or so, I think I was talking to JPC about this, where I was like, I think I might play an Assassin's Creed. And he's like, don't do it. They're bad now. They're not good.
Well, you know what? He's not entirely wrong.
Haven't they been pulling it back around, though?
It feels better now, but, like, having played through most of them recently, like, you wouldn't be wrong for waiting until, like, you're on your deathbed.
Okay.
Wait, what?
November 14th, 1996.
So I should play this in 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If Twitter has anything to say about it, it'll be today. November 14th, 1996, Tomb Raider releases for the first time on the PlayStation, the Sega Saturn, and for DOS, DOS.
Man.
I
don't have any strong feelings about Tomb Raider.
Really?
Nah. We had it on the Saturn. It was fine.
Tomb Raider was one of those games where, you know, it was like, oh, this is my game. I'm a video gamer now. Like, it wasn't like my brother's game or, you know, my mom bought it for me. It was like, oh, this is my game.
It was like a bunch of people just saw a girl hot and their brains kind of shut off.
Well, that too. And the triangle tits. Am I allowed to say that? Yes.
Are you?
I think it's too late.
Our editor's going to have to cut that one out. Oh, wait, you're the editor. Oh, no.
Piss.
Well,
we're crafting piss. Now.
No Tomb Raider? From either of you?
I played the first couple. I remember enjoying them. I thought, you know, they added something new and I thought it was fun. So yeah, I remember liking the games.
Tomb Raider is also one of those very pivotal games, I think.
I think maybe I was too young. It just maybe it was frustrating.
My brother, even though it was my game, my brother did play most of it. I did not have the hand-eye coordination for jumping and flipping and shooting all at the same time.
It gets tricky.
November 15th, a big day for video games in general. 1993 is the launch of the Atari Jaguar. 2000 is the launch of the Xbox, the original Xbox One. Or I guess the first Xbox, not the Xbox One. And 2013 is the launch of the PlayStation 4.
The PS4 is 9 years old.
Yep.
I fucking hate that. I hate that a lot.
The PS4 is 4 years old. After kind of a rocky PS3 era, we got the 4 not a couple of years later. But
it was called the PS3 because they had 3 games on it.
Was that the joke?
Yeah, maybe.
The internet kind of sucks, huh?
It was called the Xbox One because it had 1 game on it. You turn 1 degree and walk away.
Damn, shots fired.
It's called the Nintendo Switch because you switch your brain off when you look at it.
Is the internet doing this to you?
No, I'm doing this to myself. I have
don't do this.
Twitter needs to burn down faster. Yeah. I need help.
I'd go watch a video game stand up.
I wouldn't.
And halfway through, they stop telling jokes, and somebody has to pick them up and blow on them or something. I don't know.
Oh my god.
There's some fun to be had with a video game stand-up, yeah.
We can mind that.
I can see it. I can hear it. I never had any of these consoles, if I'm quite honest.
What's the deal with mushrooms?
There's a whole kingdom made out of them.
Starfield.
They say there I'm supposed go. To be large. I'm still 5'9".
It's me, Jerry Starfield. As per your earlier article,
they keep delaying me.
There you go. Callbacks, we love them. November 16th.
We all agree Kramer's goofy, right?
Yeah.
And everything Kramer? We talk about from this point forward until the rest of the podcast, any property we talk about, let's say who is the goofy of that cast.
Okay. I'm down. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're nearly there. Okay. November 16th, 1952 is the birth date of Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, Miyamoto is definitely the goofy of himself.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Basically known for making everything Nintendo has ever done.
I'd say Waluigi is the goofy of the...
Of Mario Nintendo?
World,
maybe?
I would say
Mario
Luigi.
World. Sure.
Or maybe just Luigi, okay.
Yeah, well, Luigi's a little too mean-spirited to be the Goofy. What's the big dog boy of Goofy Land?
Hold on.
You know what I'm talking about.
Hard stop. What's the big dog boy of Goofy Land?
Oh, sure. So who's the Scooby?
I can't remember his name, but there's like an antagonist of Goofy's life. And
you sound like a 50-year-old like drunk uncle in like a A-frame shirt being like,
no, hey, look, I'm telling you, man.
What's the big dog man in the Goofy? Hey,
you're talking about Pete.
Pete.
The big guy, Pete. Who's also a dog, I assume. Kind of looks like a cat. Not entirely sure what Pete's deal is.
Got fucking hard stopped on my own goddamn podcast. Good
Lord. Unfortunately, Pete is not the Goofy of Goofy. Goofy's the Goofy of Goofy.
That's true.
November 17th, 1960 is the birth of Takashi Tezuka, who's worked with Miyamoto for basically the entire time at Nintendo. Also, 1997, the release of Parappa the Rapper. 2002, Metroid Prime releases for GameCube. And 2006, almost 6 years before, the PS3 is launched. So the PS3, 2006.
And we all agree Goofy's a kaiju, right?
Yeah, which would make the Metroid Prime Goofy.
Yes.
The Metroid Prime of Metroid Prime is Goofy. Yeah.
Or he's at least like an ancient god.
Oh.
Interesting.
I don't know if I would necessarily give him the full god status, but demigod.
He's a demigod.
I would give him demigod, yeah.
Son of Kronos or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I can see it. A powerful deity out to kill the other deities.
Yeah. He's completely immortal, except his hat holds a critical weakness.
Thank you.
Isn't his Parappa the Rapper the Goofy of Parappa? Wait. I'm pretty sure I got that backwards. Parappa the Rapper's Goofy. That's it. That's what
I was.
No,
he's Mickey. No, Parappa's Mickey Mouse for sure.
So is...
Super optimistic, short, big ears.
Okay, fine. I get it.
But I don't remember any of the other characters from Parappa the Rapper. So we can say he's also Goofy just for the sake of argument.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep backtracking. I just thought of the characters I want most in, the Versus game, what was it called?
Multiverses, yeah.
Did you ever play Busta Groove?
Oh, hell yeah.
If they had the characters from Busta Groove with their music in the game, I would snatch that up in a second.
That would be great.
Wait, no, Busta Groove's a completely different thing. I'm thinking of Busta Move.
Or if they had the Katamari guy.
Sure.
The little prince from Katamari.
Oh, yeah, Prince from Katamari.
I think
no.
He is like a
bonus
character in Smash.
No.
Oh, really?
No?
Not in Smash. Oh, wait, like a trophy?
Yeah. I think he's in Smash.
Assist,
like in some
trophy,
in some way.
Katamari. There's no way.
I'm almost certain.
But I still have dreams about Busta Groove where I'm just like,
yeah.
What a perfect game. The soundtrack,
it is a great game.
The way it played, I mean, the handling of it, it was just character design, just so fun.
Okay, you're right in like the most insanely esoteric way possible. If you do one of Pac-Man's taunts, one of the items he will pull out during his taunt is a little prince from Katamari.
Whoa. There you go. I'm brilliant.
Wild.
I don't think you knew that, but you got it right.
Have you listened to my other podcast, The Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever? I definitely knew that.
That's true. Well, no, that's not you, though. That's the other you.
That's the other Jace. The one that lives inside.
The one that's a fucking asshole.
The one that's
Notice
goofy.
That Paul didn't answer the question. Do you listen to the podcast, Paul?
That's no comment.
Paul's the goofy of this podcast.
There you go. Paul is the goofy.
I need to address the allegations.
Thank you, Goofy. November 18, 2001, the launch of the GameCube and Luigi's Mansion, plus a few other games. I don't know if you played you know, a certain game called Super Mario Galaxy. I did that? Maybe not. Never mind. I lied. 2002.
I definitely think Waluigi is the Goofy of Luigi's Mansion, by the way.
Oh, good.
Waluigi is the Goofy of Luigi's Mansion, yeah. but Luigi is the Goofy overall?
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. 2002, Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance. And 2012, the console launch of the Wii U.
The Wii U is definitely the Goofy of Nintendo consoles.
Not that great.
Everybody gets that joke.
Not too great. November 19th, 1998, Half-Life releases for the PC. For the first time, 2006, the Nintendo Wii, not the Wii U, is launched, and The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess is released along with it. And 2007 is the first Uncharted game for the PS3.
Man, Twilight Princess is such a weird game.
I've never played it. I still need to get it.
Interesting. Thematically, it does its own thing, but in terms of the way it's structured, it kind of just feels like they did Ocarina of Time again. Which is weird because Ocarina of Time was not that old when Twilight Princess came out. It was like 6 years old.
Right.
It almost feels like a remake in some ways in terms of the structure. Now the vibes are immaculate. It's just so dark and cool, and Midna is amazing.
Now, having played that game, who is the Goofy?
Oh boy.
The people need to know.
Ganon.
Maybe Zelda's sword.
Zelda's sword, Goofy. Yeah.
Zelda's sword?
I think Zelda does have quests? A sword. The side quests? The bug lady. The bug lady is the Goofy. Nah. There's a lady who like collects golden bugs. And it's her entire personality.
Friends, when you go home for Thanksgiving this week,
yeah,
please go around the table and decide, hey, who's the Goofy at in your family at the table? And if you can't spot them, you're the Goofy.
It might be you. It may be you. Ask it out loud, too. That would be great. I would love that, personally. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you ask.
We're free!
Give our listeners a recommendation.
The bit's done!
Which game should they be on the lookout for or playing? What do you recommend?
You can go first, Adel.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
You better go first.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I haven't played. I've been very busy in the past 8 months. So I got married earlier this year, and since then it's just been a whirlwind. Thank you so much. That's what I was looking for. And I was going to judge you based on whether or not you said congratulations. So I haven't played a ton. As I mentioned, I really enjoy Inscription. I think it's just so deeply weird and unique. Mm-hmm. And even once I thought the game was done, the game kept going, and there's just so much fun to be had. So I definitely recommend that. And then I guess I would say...
You just get one.
Okay, perfect. Then I'll stop there.
got it.
Then I would also say Return of the Obra Dinn. If you haven't played that on the Switch, is just a goddamn delight.
Award-winning game, Return of the Obra Dinn. Very good.
It's one of those games that I always hear people talk about, and they're like, I wish I could play this game for the first time again. It's that kind of game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Paul, what do you got?
You know what? I talked about Pokemon earlier. I'm going to actually recommend... Oh, you know what? I actually have two recommendations. First one is Pokemon Trading Card Game Live. It's a new client for the Pokemon Trading Card Game that just came out like yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you've never played Pokemon Trading Card Game before, good entry point. Very similar to Magic Arena in terms of just it's pretty solid client. That you can play on your computer, and it's on phone for the first time. There was one that used to be on iPad, but not on iPhone, which was super weird. And there's another one. This is kind of a weird one because I haven't actually played this game that much, but I just want to make people aware of it. The Evil Dead game, which is on Epic Games, is a asymmetrical 4v1 horror-style game. It is currently free on the Epic Games Store and will be for the next week and a half. So, you know, Evergreen Podcast. if you're interested, go check that out. Go to the Epic Store. It's free to keep. You just get it, and it's yours forever. And just give it a shot. And honestly, let me know what you think, because I haven't really played it that much myself, and I want to hear some other opinions on it. Feel free to tweet at me if Twitter still exists by the time this podcast comes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Gundam Evolution. I've actually been having a lot of fun playing it yet again. Season 2 is about to drop with a new suit for you to use. So drop in and have fun with your friends killing other robots. This is a robot killing time. It's fantastic. And Adol, finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
Thank you. Yeah, you can find me on most social media at AdolRafi, spelled A-D-A-L-R-I-F as in Frank, A-I. You can check out Hey Riddle Riddle, Hello from the Magic Tavern. I have a newer podcast called The Monster Line, all improvised shows, so check those out. And yeah, I think that's about it.
And I feel like I did a little bit of a disservice to Hey Riddle Riddle earlier talking about it. And I just want to say it is an actually fucking fantastic podcast. If if the idea of just listening to a bunch of people talk about riddles for so many times doesn't sound that good, they make it work. They really do make it work. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
No, seriously, it's a good time.
It's a great time. Paul, what do you got?
Yeah, so as always, and maybe not for much longer, you can find me at Paul. It really does feel like the end to me, honestly, at this point. I'm going to just bring it back just a little bit more. I know we're wrapping up the podcast, but it really just, today especially, it has especially felt like Twitter's just fucking done.
We'll see when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, we'll see. So for now, for the time being, you can find me at Paul's Rock and Twit on Twitter and at Paul's Work and Twit if you want to hear me talk about work stuff. I should probably list some sort of alternative. You know what? I'm legitimately scrambling right now.
Don't you have the, the co-host?
Oh, I do have the co-host, yeah.
We say LinkedIn is the goofy of social medias?
I think Facebook is the goofy of social media.
Okay. No. Goofy is...
A little harsh.
absolutely harsh.
Facebook is the Walter Disney of social media.
You know what? You're right. Damn, you're right. Maybe it is LinkedIn.
Goofy is Tumblr. So you can find me I'm going to say co-host. Paul's Rockin' Co-host, R-O-C-K-I-N-C-O-H-O-S-T. I got to keep the branding consistent. And I guess that just about does it there. Also, this weekend, I'm going to be hosting my second 24-hour live stream marathon to raise money for the Dell Children's Hospital in Austin, Texas for Extra Life. That's going to be over at twitch.tv/Bonzi77. That's not going to be on the Vox's channel this time. So I don't have a schedule. I don't have a plan. I don't have a hope or a prayer. It'll be fun. Come watch. Donate some money if you can. That'll do it.
Super duper.
I also support kids and hospitals, so it's not a competition, but I just want to say
we're all impressed, Adol.
Thank you so much. Big man.
Very impressed. Very impressed. Me? Hate him. as always, you can find me at Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitter, I assume. And you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. That'll still be there. WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Spotify if you're on mobile. Check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. Remember that you can support the podcast and your favorite charities, including children's hospitals. our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter, assumingly at Doghouse Corgian, DoghuseCorgian. And our intro music is done by Riki. Follow Riki on Twitter, DoG_NOISE. That's dog noise. Follow the greatest gaming game show ever, because it's coming back soon for season 2. Season 2 is going to be on live, actually, on Twitch, Friday, December 2nd. You can come join in the chat, maybe win actual money, maybe lose actual money, you loser. So just come on by. So,
and to prove his love of children, Adol's been booked for the next 5 episodes.
What? I mean, yay.
Fuck. That's not true.
So yes, come by the greatest gaming game show ever. Come see me play me, but worse, and hopefully learn something about video games. That's all for the weekly cooldown, though. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul. I'm normally not this pessimistic Henderson.
And I'm Goofy. Gorsh, please put me in a game with a gun.
Adel Rafai is the Goofy of this podcast.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.